Brendan, and welcome to our first episode of Cool Companies You Should Know About. Here at Career Club, we are often encouraging people to explore fast, young, well-funded companies, and today's guests at Chomps are no exception to that. So without further ado, I would love to welcome Rashid Ali and Pete Maldonado to the show. Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Cool. So maybe just real quick, if you guys don't mind, just maybe kind of 30 seconds quickly on where you are and a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into a bit of the story about the brand. Rashid, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Rashid Ali. I'm based out of Chicago, Illinois. It's where Pete and I originally founded the company, and it's where kind of critical mass of the team is located.
Okay, cool. And Pete?
I'm Pete Maldonado. I'm down here in Naples, Florida. Moved here end of 2013 after starting the business with Rashid in 2012. I am the CEO. I can't really handle anything sales and marketing related. So that's what I'm doing from down here.
Awesome. Cool. Well, you certainly got to Florida in time before the gold, so to speak. So good on you. So what I thought we could do today is kind of cover three things. One would be just a little bit about the story about the brand, you know, kind of what makes it unique, a little bit about your purpose, things like that, because, you know, so many people today are looking for a brand that matters and, you know, something that they can kind of get aligned around. And then I thought for the second part, maybe what we could talk about is a little bit about your leadership style and the culture that you guys are building at Chomps, because again, chemistry is really, really important. And then lastly, because Career Club is all about helping people find a career that matters to them, a little bit about the culture or the culture, but also the talent that you guys are looking for, whether that's sort of functionally or it might be more characteristics of folks. So just to get started, would love to hear a little bit about the brand story. You know, how you guys got started, and as I said, a little bit about the purpose and what makes Chomps unique.
Perfect. Rashid, do you want to kick it off this time? I usually do these, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea of Chomps really started as something completely different. We originally were trying to create something that would compete with Omaha Steaks, but focused on grass-fed beef. And, you know, with any successful startup and successful entrepreneur, I think it's really your ability to pivot when you need to. And that's what we did is, you know, Pete had a great idea. And, you know, the way we met, it was interesting. We were just mutual friends. We were out at somebody's, it was like a poker night or somebody's birthday. And he was chatting about starting this company that was like an Omaha Steaks. And I was like, you know, that sounds interesting. I don't have a background in food or retail or CPG. I was a operationalist consultant, and I kind of talked to Pete about the stuff that I was good at, and he talked the stuff that he was good at. And we're like, oh wow, that's like completely different, where we kind of round each other out. And, you know, the next day he pinged me and put together a partnership agreement, and we were off to the races. But on the original, the premise, we realized very quickly that shipping frozen without scale was a nightmare. And it wasn't something that we wanted to do, because it was the path to profitability would require us to take so much upfront capital to get what we needed to be profitable. So we, at the time, were making a multi-pack of sticks that required refrigeration. And when Pete was, Pete's a former personal trainer, and when he was younger, he ate loads of Slim Jims. And, you know, the idea was like, why don't we clean it up? And for me to say that now, there's so many different snack stick options on the market, so it wasn't really this great idea. But at the time, there wasn't, right? You know, Slim Jims and Jack Links are still the key the majority of the category. But at that point, it was a new fresh idea. So what we did was we took a crash course on the USDA. We realized that every meat product has an establishment number. We researched each number, and we figured out who the right co-mans in the space were that were making a product that we thought we could bring to market. So we partnered with our current co-man partner today is actually the one that we originally found back in 2012. I'll let you talk a little bit more about how we kind of really grew the business and the influence.
For sure. Yeah, so we started this business, we bootstrapped from the beginning. And so what I mean by that is we both put in $3,250 a piece, formed our partnership. And we started with literally and we went, you know, so, and we used a lot of free tools initially to kind of establish, you know, market size? Is there demand? What do the trends look like? And so we use like Google Trends. It's a free tool. You go in there and kind of see what the search volume is. And so we were focusing then, we wanted to start really, really niche. And so we were thinking about, you know, CrossFit. It was paleo dieters, very small niche, high growth communities. Are we getting feedback on from me too right now?
I'm not sure, but let's keep going. We're good.
So we started very niche. That was really how we wanted to start. And I think that's key for a lot of brands, especially if you want to start and you want to bootstrap a business. If you want to start in a much bigger, you know, bigger community, and you want to hit the ground running, that's when you start needing a lot of additional funds for marketing and all of that. But I think, you know, we did it in a different way. We were willing to put in the time and effort and just grind it out. And that's what we did. And so we, you know, kind of taught myself how to build a website, initially on WordPress, realized that wasn't the best. And then Shopify kind of started getting really big. And so we switched over to Shopify and we're still on the platform. It's great. And it's very user-friendly. And then I got a $99 Photoshop subscription that I can use to make actual packaging. And it was terrible. it had like literally cowhide in the background. And that's what we launched with. I'll try to send you some pictures after this so you can
OG chomps.
Oh man, it was brutal. But the thing about it is despite the terrible branding, the terrible packaging, all the things that we had going against us, it proved out very quickly that there was demand for this type of product. And it wasn't just going to be our moms buying the product anymore, which it was in the first few weeks there. You know, but we turned a profit very quickly within just about, you know, the first, you know, couple months. And we've continued investing those profits and we're here today and we're still a profitable business and that hasn't changed. But we've been doing it for a long time. We've been doing it for
the one thing we learned early on was the product has to taste good, right? It has to be made with the right ingredients. And and it has to be a high and consistent quality. So that's what we focus on before. Like Pete said, the brand was crap. Like I think the name Chomps is a winner, but when you think about like, was it jumping off the shelf? Was it creating a memorable experience? Like it wasn't. All it was an awesome tasting product that had all the right attributes. And we were focusing a lot on just driving consistent quality. And that's the reason I believe when you look at our success today and the velocities and the repeat customers, it's because now we have a brand that's really resonating, but the product is still fantastic.
So I did a little bit of homework before our call today. And, you know, it seemed like there were sort of like three pillars that the brand was sort of established around, you know, with respect to like nutrition, environment, animal welfare. Do you guys mind talking about that for a minute? I think for listeners, that's the kind of thing that's like really important to people. And maybe, you know, I'll let Peter, which Rashid, whatever one y'all want, but you know, how that also kind of ties into like the vegan trend.
For sure. Yeah, I could touch on that. So you mentioned the three pillars and nice work, by the way, because that's what we're all about. You know, it's the nutrition, the environment and animal welfare. And that, I feel like what's happening is that checks the boxes for most customers today. And so the most discerning buyer, you know, these people are very educated. They know what they care about, where their product comes from and the way that the protein, especially how that's sourced. We start hearing about how bad red meat is for the environment and how bad these animals are being treated. You know, we've been doing this from the very beginning. Admittedly, we did a very bad job of articulating that though to our customers. I feel like over the years we've gotten really good about, you know, establishing those three pillars and like why we do what we do. And we always kind of like, we knew what we wanted to accomplish, but it's easier to kind of distill it down and kind of say, this is what we're focused on. And that's really resonated with the customers. Now to your point about the vegan trend, right? And the plant-based trend, what's happening is a lot of people are actually switching from eating meat to plant-based because they're worried about those exact things. But what happens is if you actually do the research and you realize, you know, the way that we're sourcing, we're checking the boxes, you know, we're making sure we have certified humane beef. We have, you know, we're using all regenerative beef as well. So we're making sure that there's, you know, rotational grazing, all those types of things that are going to be really, really important. When you're raising, especially beef, I mean, in particular, we stay away from all the feedlots. and the over-industrialized beef industry which we have here in the U.S. And we went clear across the world to find the best possible beef that we could. And so we source still from Tasmania and Southern Australia. And that's where it all comes from. We established direct relationships with the actual farmers. And you know, we talked to our supplier even just yesterday. And so we just constant contact all the time and making sure that we have a really great relationship, especially in times like right now with all these supply chain issues. You want to make sure that you're being prioritized and that you have the supply that you need to continue building the business.
So has COVID interrupted any of that? Because I know like New Zealand and kind of that part of the world got pretty locked down on some stuff. How'd you guys sort of navigate that?
I think it really comes down to the relationships you build over time. I think there's some folks in the space that they're doing spot buys. They're going through distributors. They're just trying to get the best price. I think while we're always going to push our partners to make sure that we're getting a competitive price, we also are making sure that our volumes are growing gradually over time, that we're not nickel and diming them, that we're investing in the relationship just as they are. And I think as we got through, you know, as we got into the thick of COVID, it was twofold. At the beginning, you know, we saw a pullback on foot traffic into stores. So our sales dropped. And so that's when we had to go back to our suppliers being like, hey, you have to understand the situation. It's not forever. We need a little bit of flexibility to get through it. And they completely got it. But also we didn't want them to shift the volume away forever and not allow us to get back. So we also kind of worked with them a lot of communication on when we're going to ramp back. And then when you think about what happened last year and into this year, where volumes and demand is soaring, it's allowing to also understand that it's important to continue to grow with them and invest. And if they need to take price a little bit, being reasonable and work with them to make sure. Because at the end of the day, when you think about like the animals they're trying to invest in, they need to be able to buy the animals at the right price. So if you're trying to like pull back and dig your heels in the ground, you're going to impact their ability to actually get the resources to be able to meet our demand. So again, I think it's all about forming real partnerships, communication, and doing what's reasonable and fair, right? At the end of the day, if you are just kind of nickel and diming them, you're not going to create sustainable relationships.
Well, let's use that as a way then to kind of pivot into sort of like the leadership and culture part of the conversation, because I think that actually says a lot, right? You know, we're talking about, you know, how you deal with your vendors and that you're not nickel and diming them. And you guys have been with your vendors for a number of years now, right? I mean, you guys are not a startup, you know, like, you know, making product investment, like trying to get it shipped out this afternoon. So you guys have been doing this for a while. Speaking more broadly about kind of leadership and then maybe using that as a springboard into culture that you're building at Chomp.
I think Pete and I both have unique backgrounds in the sense that we don't come from food, retail, or CPG. So when we, in January 2018 is when I kind of came full time and we were ready to open an office and start hiring folks. So Pete and I sat down and we tried to think about like what characteristics and qualities do we have that allowed us to get to where we are today. And so we created what we call the traits of a champion, and it's seven key traits that we believed were critical for someone to be successful in this environment. And it really, you know, we hire around those values. We assess performance on a regular basis around those values. We challenge the team to think about things. And so some of the key ones are scrappy, meaning, you know, it doesn't matter how big we are, how profitable we are, at what stage of maturity we are, we always are going to make sure that we're thinking about things from a scrappy perspective. Like we want to get things done fast. We want to get done the right way. We also want to get it done efficiently and cost effectively. The other is game changer, where we didn't know the way traditional CPG approached things. We did what we thought made sense. And a lot of times we find out now that we didn't do it the way that everybody else approached it. So that game changer mentality, it's like doing what makes the most sense, that's most effective, even if it goes against the grain, is the right approach. And just because we've done something a certain way doesn't mean we need to continue doing it. So we always want to be thinking about things differently, challenging status quo and trying to drive for improvement.
Peter, there are a couple other qualities that Rashid didn't touch on that kind of resonate with you.
Yeah, learner is a big one. And so that's one of the things that we're constantly challenging the team to do. So we have a very small team. We've got just about 30 people right now, and and if you think about where we're at in terms of numbers, we're way understaffed, right? We just do a lot with a little, and we always have. One of the things that we've always tried to teach our team to do is think about, like, who is it? Is there a mentor out there? Is there a course out there? And so we're about it. We want to invest in these people. We want to create, we call it the Unicorn Project, because it's like, we really want to create unicorns, and we don't care if somebody is in the whatever, use on the operations side, and they want to learn more about marketing. That's great. I mean, let's broaden horizons. Let's kind of like get them the exposure that they really want. And one of the things that we're talking about this year too is even from a career path, like, what are your goals? If we have people on the team that eventually want to be in our position, they want to be an entrepreneur, they want to own a business. That's great. We don't care if they look at Chance as a stepping stone where they can learn every little thing they do, because what's going to happen is they're going to get so good at whatever they do, the business is going to reap the benefits. And I think there's a saying out there. I can't remember who it is, but it's like, you know, train your team as, you know, to be as good as you possibly can so they can leave, but treat them so well so they never do. And that's exactly the mentality. And we're serious about it. We want to set time and funds towards helping people further their own career path. And again, if that means that they're going to eventually leave Chomps, that's okay. That's not ideal, but that's okay, because we understand that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think if we all look back on it and we see some of our team eventually in our position with successful businesses as well, how could you get upset about that? That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to make a book recommendation for you guys, if you don't already know it, called Workquake. Steve Cadigan is the author, and he was the original CHRO for LinkedIn. And it's exactly what you're talking about, Pete. And he even uses the analogy of like a NCAA basketball, where before Coach Krzyzewski would be recruiting somebody to be there for 4 years, be part of the whole Duke family, whatever. And all of a sudden that changed, right? Because you only had to be 19 to go into the NBA. And so all of a sudden it became like, no, use us for that year. You will get an experience here. We'll be preparing you to be the number one draft pick, better than anybody else.
That's cool.
I mean, it's a really radical change. He also uses an example of in an interview, this is bizarre, but in an interview, you know, where do you want to be working in 5 years? Like, kind of assuming it's not here. After you leave Chomps, what do you want to be doing? It's like, that's a weird question. But it's exactly to your point. Like, we want to groom all stars, right? You know, kind of, you know, increase, you know, the DNA that's getting out into the ecosystem of that kind of mindset. I would also have to mention, because you guys said didn't have any money because you guys didn't like go to run to the VC, you know, angle and go raise a bunch of money. You guys admittedly didn't have a bunch of CPG food retail experience. I got to believe no whining or some version of that is one of your core values, because you guys would have every excuse of why it can't be done. And you did. And you are.
Yeah. You know, that is, you know, again, I think that's the ability to take and to receive feedback and do something about it is key, you know. And, you know, we feel like we're pretty good at hiring. We've had some issues in the past where we've learned, like, you know, we have to start figuring out, can people receive feedback? We need to be able to do that prior to hiring them, because that we've made some bad hires, and it's what happens, I think, with any business. You need to be able to spot that, because if you have people on the team that are reluctant or pushing back or just not able to receive feedback and take it constructively, it's you're not going to get very far with them. And so we had it, Rashid and I had to be very quick about spotting that and moving on. So, because again, you have it's that bad apple, you know, situation. They can just spoil the whole bunch, and that becomes a toxic situation. You need to be able to clean it up fast.
And I think, you know, in any fast growing company, I'm sorry, Rashid. Part of the deal. Go ahead.
Yeah. So one of the things we do during the hiring process for every candidate now, the final step is a case. And so while we do the case, it's actually an opportunity for Pete and I to challenge folks a bit, to see how they receive the feedback, to see if they're kind of like are going to, like, you know, try to challenge back or justify why they did it or could they accept it. And sometimes it's more, sometimes it isn't. But I think for us, we've realized that it's very important. There's folks that are really good at interviewing, but when you actually give them a real world situation that they'd be faced, being able to respond to it, and then you coming with maybe some more knowledge that they didn't have. Hey, well, what if it was like this? How would it look? And being able to think about it, I think it's allowed us to make sure that can they really be successful in this environment? So I just wanted to add, it's a key part.
No, that's awesome. And case studies are great because it really does allow you to kind of see them in a quasi real environment, particularly the feedback that you're giving them. That is a real environment. Yeah. And how well can you process that? So just kind of, you know, bringing this home, and I think we started to touch on some of these things, but as you guys, I mean, we haven't even mentioned this yet, but, you know, congratulations on the PE investment by Stride. You know, that's huge. And obviously not only are you guys feeling good about the future, but they're feeling really good about the future. And that's gigantic. I'm going to assume that, you know, at some point kind of building out the staff will be part of that. As you guys think about building out the team, and it doesn't have to be, you know, in the next month, but just as you kind of look out and you're planning the next couple of years, what kind of roles are you guys looking for? And like, who's going to be a really good fit at Chomps?
Yeah,
I think I could kick that off. There's obviously many areas that we're focused on right now. One of them, actually, the role we just filled was innovation. If we think about, because we're very focused and we've stayed laser focused on these meat sticks. That's all we're doing. But eventually we realized that for us to continue building this brand above and beyond, you know, the multiple hundred millions. And if we want to get to that $1 billion mark, eventually we're probably going to have to innovate outside of meat snacks. And, that's exactly what we plan to do. And so we brought in somebody who has meat snacks, innovation experience, but then he's also got experience outside. His name is Matt King. He's great. He's been amazing to work with. But I think in general, what we're trying to do, so that's a new function that we're now hiring for and establishing that we never really had before internally. But in general, what we're trying to do is hire for bandwidth. We have a very small team. And so what's happening is the people that we hire, they're great. And so they are continuously elevating, they're being promoted and they're growing. But now what happens is you never really have the junior folks in the team and the support for everyone as they continue scaling. So we're realizing that we need to continue bringing in really good younger talent that's, you know, early on in their career, and we can kind of groom them to continue growing. So we're getting better about that. But yeah, and I think one of the things that Rashid and I have always done historically was we always operate very reactively versus thinking, you know, more strategically. And so that's one of the things that we need to be able to do better job of, because we're just in the weeds all the time. Even today, we're still in the weeds all the time. So we need to be able to groom our team to be able to handle all those things. We can kind of work on the business and not in the business and all those good things. But that's kind of what we've been thinking about right now, how the team gets built out around that.
And I guess this probably kind of falls into your domain, Pete, but like, are you guys looking to hire salespeople, marketing people? I mean, I know you said Matt with innovation, but you're kind of building out some of those functional areas a bit more.
Yeah, it's all of the above. So we have, we'll have people on the e-com side. So we're actually hiring for a product manager. So more like a developer, IT person. We're bringing in someone on the e-com media buying side. Rashid, what other roles do we have open right now? I know we just
customer experience. I think later in the year we'll start providing needing some more regional sales manager, like support level individuals on the sales team. Operations, we have a current supply chain manager role open. We're launching a production manager, food and quality safety manager. We have a director of people that we just launched actually yesterday. So if you think about it, Pete's exactly right in the sense that we need to create kind of that next level of support below all of our associates, because as people get promoted, you know, it's kind of that never ending. So we're like, do we create a leadership program or a rotational thing? Like, what does it look like? We're still trying to figure out what's the best avenue in, because we just know we need that support. The other thing is, you know, for us to operate in this current environment, we lean on a lot of third parties. So that's the other point, is like, at what point do we convert those to full-time employees and bring in, and that's where really like the director of people and culture, that HR resource, we leaned heavily on an amazing third party, but now at our scale, we need someone that's really full-time and developing. Yeah. So it's, as an example, where like, there's a number of third parties that we're using that are phenomenal partners, and we probably will still use them in some capacity, But if there's something to be said about having someone that's fully dedicated and focused on the business is really necessary as you start reaching certain milestones of growth. And that's where we're at right now.
Got it. And then last question, are you guys cool with hybrid or do you need people to be like in Chicago or Naples?
So last year we did make the call we're 100% remote. There are certain positions, like from an operational perspective, most of our infrastructure is in the Midwest. So, right, it makes sense. Like having someone in the West Coast is tough because, you know, if you're doing physical counts or certain things, you need them there. And then from a sales perspective, right, when you're going to have that regional coverage, we're trying to make sure that we have folks in the right area. But at the end of the day, it's more about the candidate, right? We hire from two perspectives. One is, can they do the job? Right. That's kind of like table stakes. It has to be. Then two is, can they meet the culture? So if you find kind of that rock star that does both, you know, it doesn't matter where they're at. It's more about them getting the job done. Because if you find the right individual, they can be anywhere and they'll still add significant value to Chomps.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much. This has been great. I'm so glad we took the opportunity to do this. I learned obviously a ton about your company, your culture, purpose behind the brand. I think so many things that you guys are saying are so on point, not just from a consumer perspective, but also from a talent perspective, right? As you guys are looking to grow, these are the messages that I think the talent that you guys want are looking to hear. And, you know, this is a very organic conversation. And for these things to just naturally come out, I think speak volumes. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, this podcast getting out and, you know, socializing this, you know, with my followers, you know, on LinkedIn, which is about 7,000 right now. I'm pretty consistent with, I think, you know, this sort of CPG food retail. I've got a ton of that, you know, as people that are following us. So, but in the meantime, you know, if there's ever anything that I personally can do to be of help to you guys, like I would love to. I love the purpose. You guys, you know, are very transparent. I appreciate the humility of like, hey, we're figuring some of this crap out on the fly, you know, and what got us here and what's going to get us there may not be the same thing. And, you know, not having sort of that we're wizards and, you know, we've already got it all mapped out in our heads. Again, I think it's very refreshing, you know, from the kind of messaging that, you know, the talent that you guys will ultimately be, you know, integrating into the culture and helping build your culture, you know, are wanting to hear. So this has been awesome. I super appreciate it. Wish you guys the best and look forward to speaking with you again soon.
Thanks, Bob. Cool. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Right, be Bob. Well.
Take care. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.